Fine. I'm going to step off the limb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We want to get the show going here with a little breaking news, and we've had Noy Torres on many times, and so most of our listeners know who he is. And he and Ruben Ugarte, who writes some of the books with him, and wrote these books about this UFO crash down in Mexico, they have come up with some very interesting news. Let's go ahead and bring Noy in. He's kind of a regular to us. He's been on many, many shows with us, and it's always a pleasure having him on. And Noy's on with us from South Texas. How are you, Noy?
Jerry, how are you doing this evening? I am so happy to be back on your show again. I have enjoyed immeasurably the many shows that you and I have done together, dating back to our time, our first show in Roswell, New Mexico, and then we've done shows from all over, from Las Vegas at the Crash Retrieval Conference. So it's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I have something really fantastic to share with you tonight. It's a world exclusive. It's the first time that Ruben and I have ever broadcast this particular story that we're going to tell on your show tonight.
Well, so we appreciate that. You know, and we mean to mention, Noy, before you even get started, that Ruben Ugarte wanted to be on, but he had to go to the dentist. And yeah. I don't know which is worse, being on my show or going to the dentist.
No, he truly did want to be on the show. He loves being on your program. But, in the area of California where he lives, the Bay Area, it's really hard to get those dental appointments. So he had this one already in the books, and he didn't want to have to try to reschedule. You know how that nightmare goes.
Yeah, now we've talked about several UFO crashes, as you alluded, here when even at the Crash Retrieval Conference in Las Vegas. But tell our listeners exactly what we're talking about here, and we might as well get right into it, don't you think?
Yes, I'm going to briefly summarize the story for those who may not have heard it or may not remember all the details. On August 25th, 1974, which is just, we've just come up on the anniversary of that date, but August 25th, 1974, there was a mid-air collision, witnesses say, between a small plane flying south from El Paso headed toward Mexico City and an unidentified flying object that the military had been tracking all the way from the Gulf of Mexico near Corpus Christi on south to Brownsville, Texas. And then it zoomed across, did a 90-degree angle turn, traveling at speeds over 2,000 miles per hour, went into northern Mexico. And eventually, when it got near the small Texas town of Presidio, just on the other side of the Rio Grande River there, the UFO is said to have crashed midair with a small plane. Of course, both craft went down in the Chihuahuan Desert below, about 30 miles northwest of Presidio. And according to the story, Jerry, there was a race between the two governments, U.S. and Mexico, to arrive at the crash scene first and recover whatever there was to be recovered there. And as it turned out, a Mexican military team, apparently out of the army base in Ojinaga, which is right across the international bridge from Presidio, got to the scene first. However, they did not have the proper equipment to deal with what they found at the site, and all 24 soldiers in the Mexican recovery team died from exposure to some unknown element that was present there at the UFO crash scene. Well, shortly after that, the U.S., which had been monitoring the activities of the Mexican military using their radio eavesdropping techniques that are in place, assets that are in place along the Texas-Mexico border, they sent in a hastily called together crash retrieval team that went in across the border, helicopter squadron went in across the border into Mexico, and the story goes that the U.S. retrieved the downed UFO, which was virtually intact, and it was brought back to the U.S. for study, of course. And supposedly the members of the U.S. military retrieval team created a, or set off, detonated a huge explosive device at the scene where this happened to obliterate all remaining evidence at the scene there near Presidio, Texas. And
that's an incredible story, and I know you got more to talk about it, and we want to.
Yeah,
I just wanted to mention that Brad Newton will be joining us in a little bit, and he's going to talk a little bit about how you're going to reveal all this information. And don't you have two new witnesses or something?
Yeah, well, see, the story I've just told is kind of just the background to set the stage for what we're actually going to talk about today. And that is that, you know, things have been fairly quiet on the as far as witnesses in this case for the past few years. Ruben and I began doing research on this in 2005. We published our findings in the first edition of our book, Mexico's Roswell, in 2006. And we had been hoping that there would be people who came forward. In fact, Stan Friedman, who did the afterword for our book, was gracious enough to do the afterword, and he included in his afterword an appeal to the readers that if anyone knew anything about this case, the police come forward with more information about it. Well, things have been fairly quiet. I mean, we've gotten some snatches of information here and there from people on the Mexican side. But interestingly enough, we had not heard too much from the Texas side. And as I had mentioned, this occurred just about 30 miles from the Texas-Mexico border. So surely somebody on the Texas side must have seen something. Well, lo and behold, out of the blue, like a bolt out of the blue, just a couple of weeks ago, because we've been, by the way, just to back up a bit, we have in the plans, and the reason that Brad Newton is going to be joining us shortly is to tell us about the first annual Border Zone UFO Festival that's going to be held in Presidio. And the reason that festival is being held is to commemorate this event that we've been talking about, which is known as Mexico Roswell, even though the largest town of any population is actually on the Texas side of where the collision occurred. It's about 30 miles away from Presidio, Texas. So the reason that the festival was being held was because of our book that came out. It was inspired by our book and the research into this case and the subsequent History Channel documentaries. There have been three now that have been released about it. So Brad will have more to say about that. But when we did the publicity, Jerry, about the upcoming festival, which is going to be held October 19th and 20th, by the way, of this year, as the publicity went out and local TV and radio in the Presidio area started broadcasting it and newspapers started carrying the story of the upcoming UFO festival, lo and behold, some of the people in some of the most remote areas of that that very mountainous desert area there heard about this case. And like I said, like a bolt out of the blue, we had a contact from a legendary school teacher and her son. She is now 82, but back in 1974, she was a teacher in a one-room schoolhouse just north of Presidio in a little community called Candelaria, actually Ruidosa, and Candelaria is a neighboring small town. And she and her son were coming down from the mountains, from the Chinate Mountains, back to their home. They had been up there to a hot spring, which at that time was a source of water for the schoolhouse where she taught. So they had made a run out there. Their pump had malfunctioned. They made a run up there to bring water back down the mountain to the schoolhouse in 1974 that evening when they saw driving back down the mountain and facing west, across into Mexico, a massive explosion in the sky right above the mountains, just on the other side of the Rio Grande River. And then the most fascinating part of the whole story to me is that a day later, the local people there in Candelaria and Rio Doce reported seeing a team of formation of U.S. helicopters coming back across the Rio Grande from Mexico, which they thought was very unusual because they never saw military helicopters in that area. And all the local people were wondering why a team of helicopters or a formation of helicopters would be coming back across from Mexico. And so this is because of the fact that according to the retired school teacher, Johnny Chambers, Mrs. Chambers, and her son, who was 10 years old at the time of this of their sighting, because of their information that they've given us, we have for the first time, Jerry, some what appears to be some solid corroboration from the residents of the Texas side of where this happened. And we, Ruben and I, are very excited, and of course it was totally unexpected.
And, one, you know, there's, sometimes there's always irony involved in these things, Noe, and you alluded to the fact that this happened August 25th, 1974, and that was just a couple of days ago for the anniversary. And you quickly, if you start subtracting that, that's a long time ago from today's date. But
right,
these people still remember this, I understand, just like it was yesterday, and why wouldn't they?
That's right. They had, and I spoke both to the retired school teacher, who is 82 now, Mrs. Johnny Chambers, and her son, whose name is John. And as I mentioned, he was 10 years old at the time of this incident. They both had vivid recollections about this incident. And in fact, people that are interested in reading the entire story about and the entire interview that I did with both of them can go to our website for the UFO Festival in Presidio, which is ufoborderzone.com. That's ufoborderzone.com. And they can read the entire word-for-word interview from both eyewitnesses. But essentially, they both described it, and I interviewed them separately of each other. They weren't together and on separate days. And so what was interesting is that both of their eyewitness accounts were virtually identical. They saw a huge glow in the sky, a fireball. Mrs. Chambers estimated that it was about 4 to 5 miles across, in other words, in width. And it was quite a bit high up in the sky. John Chambers estimates that it was possibly at about the 10 o'clock position up in the sky, or we might say, you know, not directly overhead, but down.
Yeah, we understand.
Right. So anyway, and it was tremendously huge, and there was a loud explosion sound associated with it. And they the way he described it, John Chambers, he says, if you hold your fist out away from your face, it was probably that size or a little bit bigger, and it was darker in the middle and radiated out from the middle. It was sort of orange and red. It wasn't really blazing red, but it had a little bit of orange in it, but right in the center. It seems that the center was a little bit brighter than the rest of it, and it was bright red around the center and kind of orange around the edges. And the interesting thing about this, Jerry, is it was stationary glow, a glowing fireball, stationary in the sky right over the mountains. Now, those mountains, Ruben and I have never been to the Texas side of that mountain range, but we've been on the other side of those mountains. Because right on the other side of those mountains is where we conducted all the research into our Mexico's Roswell book regarding the crash of this UFO and this small plane back on August 25th, 1974. So we had been out there to the other side of that mountain range. We'd been out there with guides from the Mexican side. We had been out there with a History Channel film crew when we did the UFO Hunters. Ruben had been out there when he did the UFO Files documentary. So, I mean, we are quite knowledgeable about that area, which is known as El Llano, by the way, on the Mexican side. And it is so ironic, when I plotted everything out using Google Earth, I plotted out where these two new witnesses were standing and looking across. It was right on the other side of that mountain range where Ruben and I had conducted all of our research into this reported UFO crash in 1974. In other words, you can draw a straight horizontal line from the Texas side, which coincides with the Ruidosa Candelaria area, straight across, and you hit El Llano, probably no more than 5 or 10 miles on the other side of the Rio Grande River is as far as Ruben and I got when we were doing our research. And it's just remarkable. I want to say we can't specifically say that what Mrs. Chambers and her son back in 1974 saw is 100% certain to be correlated with the Mexico's Roswell case, but it sure, all the indications sure seem to point to it, Jerry.
When you and Ruben were down there investigating, did you ever find out about that private airplane, who it belonged to or anything?
No, the interesting thing about it is we went down there with the UFO Hunters film crew from the History Channel, and we actually found fragments of a small plane that had gone down in the desert, scattered out over a wide area. We found pieces of the tail fin. We found pieces of the rudder, some of the electronics from the dashboard. It was all mangled up into small little pieces. And the interesting thing about it is we had someone familiar with the aircraft of that time period look at the pieces later and determined that it was an aircraft from circa 1970s, mid to late 70s and or early 80s. And so it would have been a plane that would have been in that area. The other interesting piece of it is that some of the debris from the airplane that we found crashed in the desert was later analyzed by the History Channel lab that was subcontracted for the UFO Hunter show, and they found pieces that were unidentifiable. In other words, they did not show up on the electromagnetic scans and the other equipment that was used to try to find what those trace elements were. They showed up as anomalous. They could not be classified. It was not certain exactly what elements might be contained there. And, of course, it was just minor little trace elements. Could have been explainable in many different ways. But we all thought it was kind of strange that the equipment, the lab analysis equipment, had a little difficulty exactly pinpointing what the composition of those materials were.
Well, I mean, that kind of validates the idea that it was probably a UFO, don't you think?
Yes, and the other major point that I have to make is that on the Mexican side, when Ruben and I went, we talked to several people who lived on the Mexico side of the mountain range, who said that they felt an incredible explosion. And they pinpointed it right to about 1974, although they weren't clear on the exact date all these many years later. But they were fairly confident that it was about 1974. There was a tremendous explosion one night, and one of the gentlemen that we saw that lives in a little ranch house right in the middle of ground zero, so to speak, or very close to what we consider to be ground zero, he told us that the explosion was so violent that it nearly broke the windows in a small ranch house. They rattled violently for a long period of time, and actually he heard a series of explosions as well. And he brought out some old notebooks that he had stored away in the back of his ranch house, and he showed us all his notes about the various sightings that he's had over the years, very strange flying objects that have moved across the mountain range. And because of his experience that night, the night that he felt and heard this tremendous explosion, ever since then, he kept these extensive journals of every strange object he saw out in the sky. And so we had the privilege to be shown those, and we took photographs of them. And when we do presentations about this, we tell his story and we show some of the pages from his journal that he kept.
Now you're going to do a presentation at this conference on this subject, right?
Oh, absolutely. The whole conference, by the way, is sort of themed goes along with the theme of Mexico's Roswell story, because it's taking place about 30 miles from where the actual crash is said to have occurred. Although it was over in Mexico, you know, as I mentioned, the largest populated place is actually the Texas border town of Presidio, and across the river is another small town, Ojinaga, which is in the state of Chihuahua in Mexico. Real nice folks in Ojinaga. They're planning to have some activities during the UFO festival that's going on the U.S. side. They are going to have some joint activities as well. In Mexico, we're going to have at least one confirmed UFO researcher from Mexico who's going to come and speak in Presidio as well. And so we're hoping to get more of a perspective from the Mexican UFO researchers as well. That will, by the way, the Mexican UFO research community in Chihuahua is pretty active and has been for years. So we're hoping to get some networking done with them. And also, Jerry, we're going to have a two-hour-long town hall meeting in Presidio.
Yeah, that's Saturday afternoon, and I'm going to get into that with you. I mean, you got some pretty important people. And our chat room is abuzz with all kinds of questions here. And Noy, one of the first questions they wanted to know in the chat room is something that I think I asked you one time before. And that is basically what happened to the families as far as finding out that their soldiers died. I mean, what kind of story did they tell them? Do you have any idea?
The Mexican UFO investigators who have worked with us on this case have told us that it is quite common in Mexico for the families of fallen soldiers to be told that their loved ones perished in some kind of training exercise at one of the military bases. And even though the family suspects that there might have been a lot more to the death of this soldier, they don't, you know, a lot of these soldiers come from lower class populations, from lower income populations, And so they don't have the resources and they don't have the time, they don't invest the time and effort to actually get to the bottom of why they're son perished in the Mexican military. So the story that we're told by the UFO investigators in Mexico is that this was very likely a case where the families of the fallen soldiers were not told the complete story. They were probably just told that these soldiers had died during military maneuvers while out on training in an inadvertent explosion, let's say.
Now we have Brad Newton on the line with us, and Noy, I think you need to give him an introduction and explain to our listeners why we have him here.
Yes, I want to say that the Border Zone UFO Festival taking place in Presidio in October would not have occurred without the fact that Brad Newton did some research when he heard about the Mexico's Roswell case and found out, you know, he informed himself about it. And then at that point, he decided in his mind that it would be a really good idea to host a festival that was kind of inspired by the Mexico's Roswell case. So So he has been the person who has been working behind the scenes, doing all the heavy lifting to find sponsors, to find a place to hold our UFO lectures, to get people to buy into the event in the Presidio and Marfa area, in all of Presidio County, and also in across the river in Ojinaga. So we are extremely grateful to Brad, because this was his idea from the beginning, and we've just plugged into his concept, and he has followed through by doing some remarkable hard work in preparing for the first annual UFO Border Zone Festival. So I'm so glad.
You mentioned remarkable hard work. I understand Brad Newman is at his office, and it's 6:30 or so down there. Brad, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I've been enjoying the show. I've been listening in.
And we welcome you to the show, too.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Tell our audience a little bit about this conference and about you and yourself and your job.
Well, I am the Economic Development Director for the City of Presidio, and with that comes many hats. I won't bore you with them all, but I handle the tourism, and Presidio's a very old town. It's been continuously occupied here since the 1500 BC. The joke is we have Presidio established 1683 on the gate when you come in, and I tell people that's when somebody that knew what year it was showed up.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
And it's a wonderful part of the state of Texas that's often overlooked. I mean, we are definitely a destination. It's some place that you have to be coming to, because unless you're going to Mexico, you don't really have a reason to pass through.
Tell our listeners around the world exactly where you're located.
Okay, well, we're on the west side of the Big Bend region. And if you take a look at the map where it comes down from El Paso and it kind of makes a dip into Mexico and then comes back, and then the Rio Grande River, it follows the Rio Grande River all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, we have the Big Bend Ranch State Park, and then right next door to that, we have the Big Bend National Park. So there.
That's a pretty famous area. And I remember as a boy, I used to listen to on the radio to a radio show called Bobby Benson and the B-Bar-B Ranch down there at the Big Bend.
And it's a beautiful area of the state. We get visitors from around the world. I mean, you know, I've had talked to people from Germany and Europe, and it has a strange attraction for people to want to come down and see what God had left over, and he threw it all in one place. I mean, you know, we have the high desert, and then, you know, the river, I don't think there's been a geologist come out of Texas that part of their schooling is coming to the Big Bend to study all the different kinds of geology that's here. It's just a great place to be, and I live here by choice. I'm actually from Fort Stockton area, and I got bit by the Big Bend bug when I was a Boy Scout. I used to have a scoutmaster that brought us down here, and whenever I was offered a job here at Presidio, I thought, well, shoot, man, how many people get to work in a place they'd like to vacation? So, here I am, and real excited about this Border Zone International UFO Festival, and, of course, one of the first places that I stopped, besides talking to Noe on the phone, saying, hey, would y'all be interested in hooking up with us and putting this thing on? And thank you very much for all your hard work, Noe, and, of course, Ruben, and they have just been really super to work with. And we have a great website, thanks to Noe, the UFOBorderZone.com. It's a great channel to dial into, because you can see the episodes of from the History Channel about the UFO files, UFO hunters. Also, we have sightings here all the time with the mystery lights, which the locals call the Marfa lights. And of course, one of our speakers, Ismael Cuellar with the Laredo Paranormal Research Society, is going to be here and tell us about their work that they're doing with those lights. They're actually shooting the lights with lasers, and of all the people that over the years that have studied these things, the first recorded documentation was back in the 1880s back before there were car headlights and things that, you know, some of the people say, they're just headlights. But no, they're not. They're actually these orbs that float around Chinati Peak. And I've got sightings from, you know, on all sides of it. But primarily there's a viewing station just outside of Marfa that they have been hitting these lights with a laser, and they're reacting. And on the website there's some video of the laser, you know, pinpointing, hitting the light, and they'll shrink up, and then they'll turn the laser off, and then they'll reappear. And so, you know, everybody always thought they were kind of a static thing, but, you know, when light hits light, not much happens. But in this case, something's happening. And so there's a lot more
now,
research.
Imagine, you have someone giving a presentation about those lights, right?
Yes, Ishmael Cuellar it will be here, and he's part of the lecture series. And, of course, Noy and Ruben will be here to talk about Mexico's Roswell and aliens in the forest. And
we're going to run down all of the speakers and everything.
But anyway, it's a really neat deal. And one of the sideline things is, you know, we're working together here in Presidio, and it's one of the few places where, you know, the city and the school and the county, and we all get along and we work together. We have interlocal agreements to where we help each other all the time, so we don't have a lot of duplication of services down here. And the school is going to be participating, and this last year, our T-STEM program stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics team. Made it all the way to the White House with their rocketry program. And so they're going to do a rocket display for us, and so we're going to blast off rockets. At night we have the Orionids meteor shower, or the Orion meteor shower will be both nights, the 19th and the 20th. We have free camping out at the Presidio Drag Raceway, and so you can come out, and then Saturday night we're going to have the Dude of the Dead music festival out there, and then you can get some Americana rock. I know that's kind of a strange deal, but it's kind of like the Ozark Mountain Daredevils meet Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Where Art Thou? And anyway, it's some really peppy music. It won't put you to sleep, and it'll be a good time to be had out at the racetrack on Saturday night. And we also, and Noah, you don't know this, but one of our sponsors, Mr. Carlisle with CSM Carlisle & Associates, he does a lot of consulting work for the city, and he's ex-military. CSM stands for Command Sergeant Major, and he was stationed at Fort Bliss in the same time area as all this was going on, as well as after he got out of the military, he worked for NASA for a while. But Roger has a lot of charisma, and he'll make us a great MC. He'll be there to introduce the acts and everything, and I'm looking forward to some of his stories about what he saw going on out of White Sands. So
that sounds really interesting. Where will this be held there in Presidio?
Well, the lecture series will be at the Presidio Activity Center, and we have a big gymnasium that is kind of a multi-purpose facility, and we could probably get 300-400 people in there to hear Mr. Friedman whenever he speaks, and I've got a feeling that it will make a great facility. Also, the Senior Citizen Center is in there, Boys and Girls Club, and so it's just a nice, big, modern facility that we can have the lecture series in. And then across town, and Presidio is not that big. You can get just about anywhere in about 5 minutes. We're also going to have the Presidio Passport Program that if you visit 20 businesses and get your passport stamped, we'll have a free T-shirt or cap for the people to visit our merchants. And like I say, there's a lot to see and do around here. The natural beauty and, you know, the Chinati Hot Springs, which the Ms. Chambers and her son came from, that's a really neat location. Of course, they got another hot springs in the national park. A lot of hiking, camping, mountain biking. If people come down to the Big Bend, they may want to stay for a couple of days and take advantage.
It sounds like I need to save an extra day or two on each side of the conference.
Right.
Take a look at everything. Noy, this must be very satisfying to you to have the city and the county and the entire area right behind you. on this UFO.
I tell you what, Jerry, it is amazing for us to have connected with Brad, and our relationship in organizing this conference has been the best. Ruben and I, when we were there in 2006, originally we were on our way to do the research across the river there at the purported crash site of the UFO. And we stopped in at Presidio, and we enjoyed very much our stay. We also went up and saw the Marfa lights. Ruben and I filmed them. We went up to...
So the Marfa lights, you can just show up out there and see them anytime?
Yes, weather permitting, on a good, clear evening. They show up virtually every evening, and... There is, now this is what's really odd, Brad alluded to it just briefly, but I want to mention that it is one of the few paranormal phenomenon that I know of for which an official state roadside park, specifically for the purpose of viewing them, has been constructed by the Texas Department of Transportation. It's got bathroom facilities, it has paid telescopes, it's got vending machines, you know, it's got plenty of parking. And the oddest thing happens almost every evening, Jerry, is you go to that rest stop or that little roadside park, and if you get there a little bit before dusk, there's nobody in sight. It's like totally empty. And then one car will pull in, and then another, and then another, and pretty soon there's a whole army of vehicles all parked. The parking lot is full of people back up their pickup trucks, and they're sitting in the back with, you know, on their lawn furniture. And it becomes a spectacle almost every evening to watch these incredible lights that appear there along the Chinate Mountains, and have been appearing there, as Brad mentioned, for decades and still have not been explained. But Ruben and I fell in love with the area, and the interesting thing that I was going to tell you, Jerry, is when Ruben and I were driving around town in Presidio, and Ruben turned to me, and this is almost, you know, it's synchronicity, because Ruben turned to me and he said, you know, what would be really cool is if one day we could commemorate what happened in this Mexico's Roswell case by having a little UFO, a little festival here in Presidio. And that was 2006.
Thanks to Brad Newman, it became possible.
That's when Brad, that was the little residual energy that we left behind there that Brad ran into. And Ruben has a favorite saying that he tells me. It's my co-author, Ruben Uriarte, that I'm talking about, who's also one of the speakers. His saying is that life is a continuous stream of synchronicity. And I really believe that, because things that seem random to us, you know, random things happen, mm-hmm. seemingly out of the blue, and somehow everything seems to always come together. And in this case, it certainly did with Brad's help. We're so looking forward. Stanton Friedman will be there, and many other very good.
Yeah, we're going to run down the lineup here in a minute. I got a couple of Twitter messages, and somebody in the chat room brought up something as well. And I don't know if you've ever heard about this or not. It's called the Zone of Silence.
Zona
like
del
this.
Silencio, yes. Zona del Silencio is an anomalous zone that's been compared to the Bermuda Triangle. And it is just on the other side of the Rio Grande River from Presidio, in fact, just a little bit south and a little bit southeast. It is a zone where compasses spin wildly, radios and other electronic equipment don't function. Pilots have reported that their online instruments will suddenly go dead. There's been numerous UFO sightings throughout that whole area. Some people say that particular zone, which encompasses, you know, a large area of the Chihuahuan Desert, some people say that zone could be some type of a gateway or a portal of some kind that these entities are using to transport themselves into our reality.
Well, was this UFO crash we're talking about with the private plane, was that near that zone?
Absolutely. It happened just a little bit north of that, the zone of silence. Now, the zone of silence is not a, it's not something that's marked on maps where you can definitely delineate the boundaries of it. So it's that whole area there that is mysterious all the way into Texas as well, with the sighting of the Marfa lights, which, you know, they've been sighted since the 1800s. And that whole area is mysterious and unlike any other place on Earth.
My producer, Janie, shortly pointed out to me, Brad, that I misspoke your last name one time. I called you Newton. It's Newman.
Yeah, it's like
I knew
big.
That. I knew that. Okay. And I apologize to you.
Oh,
for
no
that.
Problem. I've been called worse.
You were thinking of Paul Newman, who Brad resembles a lot in his heyday.
Yeah.
Let's run over Brad and Noe. Let's run over exactly what's happening here as far as the lineup. We mentioned Stanton Friedman a couple of times, but he's going to do a presentation both evenings, right? Around 6:30.
Absolutely. Stan Friedman is our keynote speaker, and in a nod to the great kids in Presidio who advanced all the way to the White House with their rocketry program that Brad mentioned earlier. In a nod to them, Stan is doing a lecture on Friday night, the first day of the conference, called Man's Place in the Universe. And this is a staggering lecture. It's one that will just knock everybody's socks off, because Stan, who is a nuclear physicist, by the way, he has been engaged over the years in the design and planning for nuclear-powered spaceships for the U.S. government and U.S. government contractors. He is going to talk about how our perspective on life elsewhere in the universe has changed so dramatically in the last few decades due to the discoveries that have been made through astronomy, the Hubble telescope, and so forth. You know, to where now scientists are telling us that there are at least 100 billion planets in our galaxy alone. And 100 billion planets, just that's a hard number to wrap yourself around. But if there are 100 billion planets in the Milky Way galaxy alone, and our galaxy is one of billions of galaxies, and there was a recent article in Time that suggests there may be multiple universes rather than just, we've always thought of just one universe. There could actually be, now they're referring to the universe as a multiverse, because there's evidence that there are layer upon layer of universes coexisting together. We are only now, as Stan is going to point out in his keynote talk on Friday night, we are only now starting to scratch the surface of what this means and how much our understanding has changed in terms of what our place is in the universe. So we're really looking forward to that.
Noe and Jerry, I'd like to also mention the dark skies of the Big Bend. You know, with the number of electric lights and all the light pollution that's in most of the United States, you really can't see the Milky Way that well, but you can see it from horizon to horizon here. It's really phenomenal that you can go out and see that many stars that just get washed out in other places here. So, you know, going along with what Noe's saying is, how big is the universe? You can actually see more of the universe from Presidio, Texas, than you can in most places in the United States.
You know, you mentioned, Brad, a little earlier, the Paranormal Research Society and Martha's Lights, but they have done something pretty, either one of you can answer this, but I understand they recently filmed a huge triangle-shaped UFO craft hovering over the city of Laredo, Texas. Is that right?
This is the most amazing UFO footage that I have ever seen, and I've been privileged now to see their presentation twice. I saw that, and they came and spoke for me. I had the pleasure, as you know, Jerry, to be the organizer of this year's UFO conference in Roswell, New Mexico, for the city. And Ismael Cuellar and the Laredo Paranormal Research Group came to Roswell, and they gave a lecture that just knocked out the standing room only crowd in the Bassett Auditorium there at the Roswell Museum and Art Center. And they showed on the screen a footage that they captured, video that they captured, of a huge green triangular UFO that hovered over the city of Laredo. And it has very distinct structure to it. It has a symmetry to it. And it has at each of the three corners, if you can imagine a triangle and you see the three corners of it, at each of the three corners or vertices, you have a very definable orb-shaped object. And it was speeding across the sky. Ismael and his group do night watches, UFO watches, quite frequently, where they set up all their camera equipment in a remote area, kind of far away from the distant lights of the city. And so they capture a lot of really strange objects that they shared with us that could not be explained by any means in terms of a conventional type of aircraft or any sort of conventional explanation. But the most astonishing one, which they are going to show extensive footage of at the Presidio event, is this incredible triangle-shaped UFO that they captured on film.
Jerry, it's very reminiscent to the picture that you have on your website, where it says Jerry Pippin's Internet Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Files. And of course, it was green. I was there, and I think that I owe a big thank you to the folks in Roswell and their support of this UFO festival. I went by the chambers and the visitor center and got a great reception. You know, we're not trying to take anything away from Roswell. We've got our own event here, and it'll be nice to have the folks from Roswell come down and let them enjoy a UFO festival rather than.
Well, Brad, I think you're to be congratulated for doing this down there in South Texas, and I think it can only benefit tourism in general and local businesses in particular. So
well,
I'd like
you know,
to pat you on the back here if you were closer.
Well, you know. Most of the events that you do in West Texas, especially, you know, it's like, boy, we had something neat happen, and we need to make it famous. I am so fortunate that I've got something famous that needs an event.
Yeah, interesting. I Noy alluded to this, I guess, a roundtable or a panel. Stanton Friedman, Noy Torres will be there, Ruben Uarte. Dennis Balthizer, who we haven't mentioned yet, we'll talk about him in a minute, and Gilberto Rivera, is that how he pronounces his name?
That's correct. Very good on your Spanish there, Jerry.
¿Cómo está usted?
Muy bien, sí, gracias. And Brad speaks it very well as also.
Oh, no, I'm not, mi español es muy malo.
But Jerry,
well, we're an international show, so we threw in a little bit of Spanish at least.
Well,
we are very excited about the round table, which was, by the way, Brad's idea, to have a town hall meeting and kind of a little panel discussion to have all the UFO researchers, you know, rather than talking at the people like we always do. We get up there and we tell them about our favorite little, you know, pet theories, and we show them the latest research that we run across. So we're going to stop talking at them, and we're going to let them talk at us for a couple of hours. We're going to have an open mic. We're going to discuss UFO sightings in the Presidio area, Presidio County, Ojinaga, that whole area, that whole Big Bend area. And we're going to throw it open to folks that want to speak, and we know there will be many. We had a similar UFO festival here in Edinburgh, Texas, just last month, and we had 500 people attend. and they had some incredibly interesting stories to tell afterward about their own UFO experience. So in a place like Presidio, which has a lot more paranormal activity going on than we do here in South Texas, I expect that we're going to see fantastic new witnesses and information come out of that town hall meeting on Saturday afternoon.
I certainly hope so, and if you do, both of you guys let me know about it, okay?
Jerry, the way I came about this idea is, you know, because when you're going out and you're saying, hey, I'd like to have a UFO festival, I figured everybody would just think I'd lost my mind. But the reaction was totally different because...
Really?
A former mayor of Presidio came and says, yeah, and he's also a school teacher. And he said, yeah, we were coming back from Marfa, and, you know, we were staying up to keep the bus driver awake. And he said, all three of us saw a triangular-shaped object. And he said, it just lit up the sky like daytime. And then another one of my board members on the economic development said that, oh, yeah, I remember seeing a streak across the sky and hearing a loud explosion. And it's just been story after story. And I said, well, we need to have a forum where y'all can come and tell these guys that write the books about it. And so talking to Noe and Ruben, that's how this particular segment of the lecture series came about. And so I'm very excited to hear these people go on record. And I think that the stigma of telling a UFO story is not what it was 30 years ago when people would, you know, oh, well, you know they... Mm-hmm. kind of look down on or think that they'd lost their mind. But, you know, the evidence is overwhelming. And, you know, I found a quote, and I shared this with Noe, and I hope I get this right, about the astronaut Scott Carpenter, who took a picture of a UFO that NASA has never released. And he said that there hadn't been a space mission ever conducted. I'm kind of paraphrasing right here, UFOs didn't monitor. What's the exact quote there, Noe? Do you recall?
Unfortunately, I don't have that, but it was...
Here it is.
You were pretty close.
Yeah,
I don't have it in front of me either. But
okay, the exact quote. At no time when the astronauts were in space, they were alone. There was a constant surveillance by UFOs. Astronaut Scott Carpenter photographed a UFO while in orbit May 24th, 1962. NASA has still not released the photograph. So, you know, the astronauts have seen them. A lot of them gone on record, including, I believe, Neil Armstrong even alluded to that. And what a great loss for our nation for him to pass on. He was always one of my heroes.
We're going to give everybody a chance here after we finish this segment.
Okay, well, I just did mine, so my tribute to Neil Armstrong.
Okay. That's good. I noticed, Noe, whether you and Ruben are actually going to talk about that Aliens in the Forest incident up in Northern California, too.
Yes, that is our new book, and it has been our best-selling book since the original Mexico's Roswell. People have a lot of interest in that. We've been on a lot of national radio talk shows and been interviewed on television numerous times. It's a story that is amazing about the group of hunters that went into the Tahoe National Forest in northeastern California one evening, and little did they realize that they were going to encounter a 90-foot-long mothership and some strange beings that came out of that and began an assault that lasted for 12 hours. It's an incredible story, and it's a very little known story. It's not well known at all.
Yeah, I told Ruben, and I mentioned to you one time, we absolutely, after this conference is over down there, maybe late October or November, we absolutely got to do a show on this.
Yeah, let's do it around Halloween and scare the wits out of everybody.
Okay, sounds like a deal.
Do another Orson Welles.
You mentioned Dennis Balthaser. I did, actually. He's going to be there talking about his two favorite subjects, Area 51 and also Roswell.
Yes,
and anybody else we need to mention?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. We've got one of the top UFO researchers from Mexico, Mr. Gilberto Rivera, who is the head of the UFO research group in Chihuahua City. And we've got, of course, we've mentioned Cuellar from the Laredo Paranormal Group. And then Stan is doing two fantastic keynote speeches. I already mentioned the one about man's place in the universe. He's also going to do a lecture, which I've heard him do before, but he's added a lot to it since, called Star Travel, Yes. And being a nuclear physicist and having been involved in the design of nuclear fusion and fission-based rocket engines, Stan brings a lot of credibility and experience when he says that we currently have the technology to send men on a round-trip mission to one of our nearer star systems and back in one person's lifetime. It's going to amaze everybody who hears him talk, because he will show you the scientific proof behind his assertions, and people are going to be shocked to discover that we already have the technology for star travel. And Stan has an amazing lecture on that subject.
Brad, sounds like you're going to get some educators and people in the schools down there interested in this conference as well.
Right. Like I mentioned, the T-STEM program is a lot of really gifted kids. We have an excellent school system here. As a matter of fact, one of the things I like to tout about them is the upcoming STEM kids came out of the eighth grade. They hadn't even had Algebra 1 yet, but 40 of them took a college entrance exam, and 24 of them passed.
Wow.
That's out of the eighth grade. So we've got a lot of really bright students here, excellent school system. And they do a super job over at the Presidio Independent School District.
Okay, we're about out of time, so let's give a wrap up here and tell people about the conference once again and the website and all of that information, either one of you or both.
We want to invite everybody down to one of the most beautiful places in Texas, one of the most beautiful places on Earth, which, by the way, is also an area that's replete with paranormal sightings and events. That's the Border Zone International UFO Festival, which is going to be held October 19th and 20th, just a couple of months away now. And full information is available at our website, ufoborderzone.com. That's ufoborderzone.com.
Brad?
And also, if they would like to give me a call, I can be reached at the Presidio City Hall. It's in any phone book. Give me a call. Ask for Brad Newton, and I'll be happy to help you with your arrangements to get here.
Okay. We appreciate both of you, Brad Newton and also Noe Torres, and it's been an enchanting, interesting hour. And we'll be back to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having us on, Jerry. We have so thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks to both of you. I'm Jerry Pippin. This is our UFO show.
Hi, this is Jerry Pippin with a question for you. Are you curious about extraterrestrials, UFOs, alien abductions, implants, the secret space program, Area 51, and other UFO topics? Then don't miss UFOCon 2012, September 15th and 16th in Santa Clara, California. Hear 13 exciting speakers, including Douglas Dietrich, presenting Roswell as you've never heard it before. Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, will reveal his new discoveries about implants. Chris O'Brien on the importance of camera surveillance at UFO hotspots. Laura Eisenhower on her almost mission to Mars. Joining these speakers are Richard Dole, Alfred Weber, Jordan Maxwell, Michael Surratt, plus five others, including special guest Sean David Morton, Russell Targ, and John B. Wells, the Saturday night host of Coast to Coast. For more information, visit the website ufocon2012.com. That's ufocon2012.com.